matter. If you were reading this Bible in the days of Christ, it would fit that day. If you were reading this Bible in 2015, it would fit this day. You find any other book, it will not do that. It's either for the time period it was written in, or for a future time period, or whatever, or a past time period. This Bible right here is fits for past, present, and future. Makes no difference where you read, and I'll prove that here in just a minute. Number one, it's a wonderful book. That's what he said in verse 129 and verse 130. He said, thy testimonies, that's just another word for the Bible. The testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now notice this. It's wonderful in its sufficiency. That means the Bible is sufficient for all matters in your life. Everything we need to know for life is included in the pages of this Bible. The wisdom of God is revealed to us through each chapter and each verse. The Bible is the instruction manual for life. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is the roadmap. This is the instruction manual. And us men, sometimes we have trouble with this. And we try to put something together without reading the instructions. You cannot build a life. You cannot build a family. You cannot build a home without reading the instruction manual for those matters of life. It's sufficient. It is it's wonderful in its sufficiency. It's wonderful in its simplicity. It's very simple. God's Word's not hard to understand. You think about today's law, and those of you that are involved in the law. It'll take multitudes of lawyers. It'll take Supreme Court justices months to decipher what the law means. But you take the Bible, the law of God, and a child can explain that. It's very it's wonderful in its sufficiency. It's wonderful in its simplicity. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God tells us what you need to know in that Bible, and then He tells you what's going to happen to you if you fail to do what that Bible tells you to do. And then He'll tell you how to get forgiveness if you fail to do what it says to do. And then He'll instruct you how to avoid making the same mistake again. That's why that Bible is so important. It's wonderful in its supply. The psalmist reminds us that the Word of God brings some benefits to your life. It'll bring light and understanding. A lot of people are walking around in darkness. They're walking around like walking in a dark room. They don't have light. They don't have this Bible in their life. The lights are not on. It'd be like going back there and shutting all these lights. We're sitting in the dark. Most people, listen, watch this. A lot of churches tonight, Wednesday night, are sitting in darkness. They've turned Wednesday night service into a bingo hall. Social, whatever, let's get together and eat ice cream. And I'm all for eating ice cream, but after we study the Bible. And so many times, listen, we're having more and more, and I'm for activities. I think you ought to have something going on every night. I do. I'm for activities. But listen, we're having more activities and less Bible than ever before. Now, there's only one person that's behind that, and that's the devil. Now you can choose to shut the lights out in your life and be in darkness, or you can decide I don't want to know anything about the Bible and all that kind of thing. That's your choice. But the psalmist says, therefore doth my soul keep them. Now, it's what he said. He said the Bible is wonderful. Now, number two, in verse 131 through 135, he's talking about the walk in the Word. First verse, he says, or verse two verses, he says, the Word's wonderful. It's wonderful to my life. And then he says, the walk in the Word, there's a desire for the Word. Look at 131. I opened my mouth and panteth, for I longed for thy commandments. It would be like you'd be in a desert, and you're walking 110 degrees out there, and you're soaking wet from sweat, and you're just looking. I mean, you're panting after just a little drink of water. That's the way it ought to be every day in our life. We ought to be panting after, my soul panteth, after the water brooks. Talking about the Bible. Wanting a fresh drink of the Word of God. My friend, that's what it'll do for you. It's the water of the Word. I think the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Is there a desire in your heart for the Bible? Is there a desire? Do you have any desire whatsoever to read the Bible? Do you have any desire whatsoever to study the Bible? Then he's got a desire for the Word. That's in 131. Then in verse 132 and 133, there's a desire for mercy. Notice what he says in these. He's got a desire for mercy. He says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, that thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Now, he's got a desire. Number one, the desire is for the Word, like a fresh drink of water. Then he's got a desire for mercy. And he's asking, all right, you say, oh, what the, I can't understand that one phrase right there. Verse 132, the last part, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. This is what David says. Psalmist David says, hey, Lord, I'd like you to bless me and use me. See that word, useth? I want you to use me. I want you to bless me. I want you to do what you've done for others in the Bible that loved your name. I want, Lord, I want you to give me some blessings like you did Abraham. And then you came down to his son, Abraham and Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Joseph. I want some of them blessings like you used those guys. Use me like, and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all ordinary, just plain old ordinary. Wasn't nothing special about them men. The only thing special about them men, ladies and gentlemen, is because God's hand, the favor of God was upon them, and they loved God, and he blessed them in return. And so that's what a desire for mercy. And then he's got a desire for blessing. Verse 134 and 135. He says, deliver me from the oppression of men, so will I keep thy precept. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Oh, verse 133, I missed it. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. All right, he's got a desire for the Word, like a desire for a drink of water. Then he's got a desire for mercy. Lord, give me the same blessings you give those in the past that you've loved and helped and blessed them. I want that desire. And then he says a desire for blessing. He said, in other words, deliver me. Lord, through your Word, help me not to commit iniquity. I do not want to allow iniquity to have dominion over me. Please deliver me from those oppressors that oppress me, that sin that so easily beset me. Lord, please deliver me from that. Amen. I mean, we need to pray that. When you pray in the morning, pray that. Pray the Bible. Say, Lord, I mean, this is what it is. He said, pray this. Lord, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me today. Well, wouldn't that be a good prayer? Deliver me from the oppression of man. I'm fixing to go to work, Lord. Deliver me from the oppression of that woman that sits beside me at work. Somebody goes, woo, I love it. Pray the Bible. He says, desire for the blessing. Now, you say, he was talking about a while ago, and I got one more point I'm fixing to end with, and I'll be done. What he's talking about here, he says, the Bible's wonderful. Have you ever thought about this? I wrote down several things. Think about this. Did you realize some of the sayings that we say come from the Bible, King James Bible? Have you ever heard this? A cross to bear. Everybody's got a cross to bear. That come out of Matthew 27. What about this? Just a drop in the bucket. Have you ever heard that? That come out of the Bible. That's Isaiah 40, verse 15. Have you ever heard this? This was in Wizard of Oz. Now that's a horse of a different color. Y'all remember that? Listen, folks, that's Revelation chapter 6. Every one of those horses are a different color. All that stuff come out of the King James Bible. You just thought Wizard of Oz thought it up. You ever heard this? A little birdie told me. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20. A little birdie told me. That come out of the Bible. You ever heard this? A man of few words. Proverbs 17, 27. That's where it come from. You ever heard this one? Actions speak louder than words. That's Proverbs 31, 31. You ever heard this one? Adding fuel to the fire. Yeah, some of you have done a little of that. That's Ezekiel 21. Adding fuel to the fire. Ezekiel 21, 32. You ever heard this one? After I'm dead and gone. Y'all gonna miss me after I'm dead and gone. That's 2 Peter 1:15. Y'all ever heard that? This is a good angel food cake. Have y'all ever made angel food cake?
Yeah.
That come out of the Bible. First person ever made angel food cake, Psalm 78, verse 25. Angel food cake. You ever heard this one? I'm at my wit's end. How many of you are at your wit's end? Let me see. That's Psalm 107, verse 27. I'm at my wit's end. That come out of the Bible. Now, some of y'all say, the Bible is not relevant for today. That's an old book. It don't mean anything today. Well, I'm fixing to prove. How many of y'all want me to show you where automobiles are in that Bible right there? Automobiles are in this Bible. And I'm not talking about over in Acts chapter 2 where it says they was all gathered in one accord. I ain't talking about that. I'm not talking about that. Some of you thought I was talking about that. If you can, find the book of Nahum. Nahum. Thomas, yes, that is a book in the Bible. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, right before Habakkuk. Nahum, chapter 2. Now, if you've got an old Schofield, it's on page 953. 953, if you've got an old Schofield. Nahum, chapter number 2. I still hear pages turning. It took me a minute to find it. You don't hardly hear anybody preach out of Nahum. There's a lot of good verses in it. Nahum 1:7 is a good one. Nahum chapter 2. Is everybody there? Look at verse 4. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like lightnings. Now, in Nahum, when he pinned that down, he had no clue what he was writing down. He had no clue. Never seen a chariot run that fast. And now, in this day we live in today, we have cars that'll run that fast. Just like what Nahum wrote that in 713 years before Christ was born. And it says, the chariot shall. Speaking of today. And possibly even further on. Ain't no telling what they're going to come up with next. You say, well, my car don't run that fast. Well, don't get in front of me. Mine does. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd show you that. You ever heard this one? Beaten within an inch of your life. That's 2 Corinthians 11:24. Oh, now listen. Have you ever heard this one? Beauty is only skin deep. Proverbs 31:30. Where it come from? You ever heard this one? Between a rock and a hard place. That's 1 Samuel 14:4. Now, I'm saying all these. If you want to write all these down, I'll give you what I've got them wrote down on, or you can get the tape or whatever. How many of you have heard this one? The blind leading the blind. That's Matthew 15:14. You ever heard this one? by the skin of your teeth. That's Job 19:20. How many of y'all believe I can find cornbread in the, I love cornbread. I hadn't found white beans in there, but I have found cornbread. And this is a little easier to find. Psalm 78. Cornbread. This is in the Bible, hallelujah. I'm glad it is, too. Psalm 78, verse 24. And had rained down manna upon them to eat. That manna, that's bread. And had given them of the corn of heaven. As corn bread. You say, that's stretching. That ain't stretching it. That's corn bread. I mean, you got manna, bread falling out of heaven, and you got corn coming out of heaven. You got corn bread, because in the middle of the air, that stuff's mixing together. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more. Have you heard this one? Crooked as a snake. Don't look to your right or left. That's Isaiah 27, verse number 1. Crooked as a snake. Now, all that stuff. That's why the psalmist said the Bible is wonderful. It's wonderful. It is on time, every time. And let me give you this. You say, now what is the big deal about the Bible? It's just a book, isn't it? Okay. Maybe you have that theology. Get this little page out right here. I didn't want to spend time turning to all these. I wanted to give this to you. Fold it. Don't leave it laying around. Fold it and stick it in your Bible. You watch this. Look at the number one. The Lord is righteous. Psalm 119, verse 30. Righteous are thou, O Lord. Well, notice right up under it. The Word is righteous. Psalm 119, 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous. Well, is the Bible righteous or is the Lord righteous? What if the Bible is the Lord? What if this Bible right here is the written Word? What if this Bible is? You say, if we could just been like the disciples and had Jesus walking with us, right beside us for 3.5 years. Oh, that would have been so wonderful. Folks, you got Him right beside you. I hope you do. Right there. Listen, we'd love to see the Lord just come down here and walk him. I understand that. But hey, you got it. All of this right here, we're not going to go over all of these. Look at the next one. The Lord is precious. Then it gives you another verse where the Word is precious. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that Bible is a person. But number three, Jesus is truth. Well, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus said that. He said, I'm the truth. Well, John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Well, is Jesus the truth or the Bible the truth? Ain't that something? See, that Bible's a wonderful thing. It'll tell you in one place Jesus is the truth, and in the other place it'll tell you the Word is the truth. Why? Because it wants you to know that Jesus is the Word, and John 1:1 is true. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And let me help you. I'm going to just help you. I don't mention this a whole lot, and they talk about me all over town. Brother Jeremy's a cult. Well, hallelujah. But if there's not but one God and one Jesus and one Holy Spirit, then He ain't got but one Word. And you go to the bookstore and there's 119,000. Take your pick. Well, you might want to find out which one is the Word, the truth, and the life. Well, that's my little rant for tonight. All right. Number five. God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, look here, John 6:63. The words that I speak, they are spirit. Well, one says God's a spirit. The other says the word is spirit. Well, look at number six. Oh, my goodness. God is perfect. Y'all believe that? Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven, perfect. Well, guess what? Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is... You know what that means? That means it don't have any mistakes in it. So, let me help you on something else. And that's about all I want. You can look at the rest of them. Look here. When a preacher gets up, and I'm going to help you. Some y'all come from all different churches, whatever, and that's fine. Hallelujah. But listen. If a preacher ever gets for you, and you probably heard it, television, radio, makes no difference. I'm telling you. They get up, they read a verse, and they say. Now, this word in the original, the way the translator translated this is incorrect. Well, let me tell you, let me help you. Let me just help you what to do when you hear that. If you're watching television, turn it to the news. You'll get more out of the news than you will him. Hallelujah. If you're listening to the radio, turn it off. And listen, either the Bible's perfect or it ain't. If it's perfect, then where's a copy? Give me a copy. Well, there's several different... No. Things that are different, not the same. Things that are different, not the same. So where is a perfect copy of the law of God, the Word of God? Where is it so I can get my hands on it? He promised to preserve it. Where is it? I want it. That's why David said, the Word is wonderful. That's why he said that. And then lastly, when he got down to the last verse, 136, I know you've already finished, but the last verse of 136 of Psalm 119 said this, rivers of waters. Now get this before we go. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? David says, Lord, help me to be compassionate. Now, folks, some of us men, and I'm the same way, I try my hardest not to cry. I try hard not to cry. You know, why? Because men ain't supposed to cry. And then I got to thinking, men ain't supposed to cry. And then I got to thinking, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Boy, I get you, don't it? And I know us men, we try to be macho, but listen, if your head leaks, it won't swell. And most people, it won't cry, you don't try, and they got bottled up inside of them, their head swells, and they get real prideful. You better let your head leak every now and then. And what the psalmist David says, the last verse, rivers of waters come out of my eyes because there's people out there in Dyersburg, Tennessee that don't love that Bible. And my first instinct is to bottle up my fist and just punch them right in the nose. But David says, uh-uh. We better get down these altars again and start weeping over people. Weeping over people because there's people out there that don't love that Bible. David first started out, he said that Bible is wonderful. And he ended, there's some people out there that don't think it's wonderful. And that squeezes my heart till the juices run out my eyeballs. That's basically what he said. And he said, give us some compassionate people that'll love him, and love his word. That's what the psalmist David says.
He says the Bible is wonderful. And there are those out there without the Bible. Fanny Crosby put it this way. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. I bet you Fanny Crosby read Psalm 119. She said, weep, O the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And amen. Ain't that good? The Bible is wonderful, ain't it? It is wonderful. Well, all righty. Thank the Lord for the Bible. All right. Well, we're going to have time of prayer request. And...